Good morning. It happened sometime in the 1980s. There was a STEM student who belonged to a church affiliation that wasn't Lutheran. He was on summer break from the seminary, working a summer job, driving a city bus through the inner parts of Chicago. His route took him through a rather rough neighborhood. One day, as he was nearing the end of his shift, with just a few more stops to make, the bus was empty of passengers. He pulled up to the curb, and four men who happened to have juvenile records got on. They saw a chance to commit a crime. They jumped him, beat him up pretty badly, took all of his money, ran off down the street, only to be caught by the police that same afternoon. During the summer, he was then prosecuted. The STEM student attended the trial, and when they got to the sentencing phase, he asked permission to address the court. The judge said yes. He stood up, and to the amazement of everyone there, his words were, "Your Honor, I want to take the place of these men who attacked me and serve their sentence in prison." The judge cut him off rather quickly. "Young man, we don't do that sort of thing in this court. What you're asking is not done in any court." Now, that student had one reply. He didn't get to take this very far. He tried to say, "Well, Your Honor, it did happen once a long time ago." He didn't get a chance to talk about Jesus publicly, however. As it turns out, he was able to visit these men who attacked him in prison, talk to them about Jesus, and as a result, some of them became Christians. Back to that judge in the Chicago courtroom. His answer was not wrong. His answer actually conforms to this Bible passage, Proverbs 17:15. "He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the just, both of them alike are an abomination to the Lord." I want you to think about that passage. It says that no human judge or court should ever declare the guilty innocent, or vice versa, declare the innocent guilty. If that happens intentionally, or as an abuse of power, or because the judge got bribed, or with malicious intent toward the defendant as they handled Jesus on Good Friday, if that happens, it's an abomination to God. It's detestable to the Lord. He hates injustice when it's carried out, especially by those in power, those who are supposed to represent Him as rulers and judges in this world. Are you sensing something of a potential contradiction here? Has God failed to practice what He preaches? Did God not condemn the righteous in the way things happened with Jesus on Good Friday? Did God not justify the wicked in the way He handles you and me through the gospel? Well, let's stop and think this through. Proverbs 17:15 gives only part of the picture what applies to the human earthly judge. God, of course, operates on a much higher level. And He does it in a way that's true to His brand of holiness. You see, unlike a judge who would look the other way or decide to let this guy off the hook, God does not let you off the hook. He does not say about your sins, "Oh, it's okay, we'll forget it ever happened." He does not sweep the matter under the rug. No, all of your sins need to be punished to the fullest extent of His law. The curse of the law has to be applied to every person. No exceptions. Well, here's where grace and mercy come to the rescue. His grace and mercy has decided to not aim that curse at you directly, because that would mean hell for you and me. He doesn't want to lose us. So, He provides that substitute, His Son, to take your place under the law, to keep every commandment for you, to pay for every one of your sins, and make it count as your death on the cross. You died on Good Friday. That is what the Bible means when it says in 2 Corinthians 5, the love of Christ compels us because we judge thus, that if one died for all, better translation would be, if one died in place of all, then all died, including you. When Jesus died in your place, that was your punishment. God sees it as you on the cross, suffering what Jesus suffered as the complete punishment for all your sins. And God does not practice double jeopardy. Can you wrap your brain around all of that? This unique combination of grace and holiness? We could never do that. This unique practice of substitution? That doesn't fly here. We don't do that in school. We don't exchange grades, A for this student, F for this student, swap. We don't do that. If it happened, we'd fix it. You get what you earn. Only God can work this way. Only God can do this mystery. Yes, it's a mystery. These things that God refers to when He says in Isaiah, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God's grace in Christ is one of those higher thoughts. God's practice of salvation through substitution is one of those higher ways. Something truly incredible. Something we never would have imagined. Something that even when revealed to us through the Bible, still retains the element of mystery. We can't fully explain it. There is a great mystery at work in the event of Christmas. Just think about it. The Creator God becomes one of us created people. The Almighty One becomes helpless. A baby who needs the constant care of his mother and his stepfather and his heavenly father. The infinite Lord grows up from this baby to a child, to a teenager, to an adult, all the while living that life you and I are supposed to live, making it count as our perfect obedience. The mystery continues from Christmas, the incarnation, to Good Friday, the redemption, to Easter, the justification. Yes, that perfect life, sacrificial death, and resurrection of our Lord are indeed the full restitution done for you, the full payment for all of your sins, and the sure proof that you are righteous in God's eyes, forgiven of all your sins. Yes, that is the mystery of justification and eternal life because of what Jesus did in your place as your substitute. No, it won't happen in human courts. But thanks be to God, that's exactly what happened in His court. Amen. Let's sing of the mystery. Hymn 712, the first two stanzas of hymn 712.